When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Of course, today is the beginning. Many people view today and tomorrow, Friday, as the two best days in sports. Of course, everyone here at Sports Grid on the network, we are going to be locked in to the tournament, but we know you're still very interested in your fantasy sports teams, in NFL free agency, in your upcoming fantasy baseball teams. So the format of Fantasy Sports Today is going to be the same as ever. I am joined today by George Kurtz, Craig taking Thursday and Friday off to take in everything that's going on with the March Madness. George, how are we doing? Are we locked in? Are you, do you got 19 screens up? Have you figured out what channel True TV is on? Are you ready for the madness?
When you say everyone, yeah, I'd be the exception to that rule. No, I am not a March Madness guy at all, by the way. I have no idea what channel True TV is on. I don't even know if I'm sure I get it somewhere in my system, somewhere, or a download, but no, I didn't have to go worry about that either. I am still, as you said, locked in with the Aaron Rodgers saga, and I would really love if he just screws the Jets over. You know, at the careful consideration, I think I'd rather stay in Green Bay. I would just have a blast here if I saw that coming later today or at some point here. I like chaos. I think it'd be very interesting here. And of course, you got the WBC in baseball, 2 weeks till opening day.
It is, yeah. We're 2 weeks to opening day. We do have, of course, some news from the World Baseball Classic. Guys, we're not going super in-depth on March Madness here on the program. We, of course, going to talk about it in fantasy or reality, but if you're looking for in-game live and coverage of everything going on all across the country, make sure that you're tuned in to Sports Grid for the rest of the day. Smarter to be on Sports Grid. Getting to our headlines here today, Edwin Diaz, receiver of the largest contract for a relief pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball from the New York Mets, gets injured celebrating as Puerto Rico knocks out the Dominican Republic from the World Baseball Classic. Reports are not great. Not great on Edwin Diaz. I think we would be surprised to see him come back in any sort of semi-quick time frame. Sort of a surprising move here. The Cincinnati Bengals sign offensive tackle Orlando Brown, who played the last two seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs, the preceding three seasons for the Baltimore Ravens. Reports are that the Kansas City Chiefs offered Orlando Brown more money, but more guaranteed money in the deal that the Bengals end up giving Orlando Brown Jr. At the same time, George, both very obvious and very surprising, the Dallas Cowboys finally wave the white flag and release running back Ezekiel Elliott, and John Morant is now eligible to return from suspension on March 20th. The games he has already missed count towards that suspension. I believe today he's got a television special with Jalen Rose going live, talking about everything that is going on around him. But let's go here with Ezekiel Elliott. You are a Cowboys fan. I'm a lapsed Cowboys fan, or was a Cowboys fan growing up. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's tenure in Dallas, it was lots of ups and downs. He was at one point one of the best running backs in the NFL, but it's been pretty sad for the last couple seasons to watch him play.
It has. He's a beat up running back. He's a physical running back that, you know, it takes its toll here. I did not think Dallas would move on from him. You know, I'm glad they did. That's the right football move, but I didn't think they'd be able to pull that trigger. I thought they would just get his cap number, you know, maybe down with 3.54 million range here, and they would keep him to be the, you know, second hand to Tony Pollard there. As a fan of the team, they did the right move here. They need to move on. All Zeke really does well now is block. He's a very good blocking back, great on third down blitz pickups. That's what he does well. He does not do anything else well. His legs are done. They just are here. So good for Jerry Jones finally realizing that probably a year too late. Kind of sad that his last snap as a Cowboy was that ridiculous last play of the game versus San Fran where he was the center and got run over. But no, that is what it is there. So good for Dallas. They've moved on from him. Pollard will be your number one next year. Now for the Cowboys, they're going to need a second running back. They don't have one right now. I mean, Zeke's gone. Malik Willis isn't there right now. So they'll need a second running back. And those guys are being, you know, they're being chomped up pretty quickly here in free agency. So I'm curious to see who Dallas will bring in, or do they address that problem in next month's draft?
Well, I mean, I definitely think they will be adding a guy in the draft. You know, this is a pretty deep draft at running back. I think they're probably a handful of guys, maybe eight guys I could see going in round two, round three. And then as always, I mean, there's always a billion running backs that can go on the third day of the NFL draft. I think that Dallas will be feeling pretty good about adding one of those guys. But there are also, I mean, you know, there are guys left out there who are useful NFL running backs. Devin Singletary, Damian Harris, Kareem Hunt is technically still available. You know, there are guys out there that could fit into this team. And I sort of wonder if actually, for fantasy football purposes, what you want is you want them to take a guy who is not going to catch any passes. You know, Damian Harris, I think, if he signed, I still think you could take Josh Jacobs in the top, or not Josh Jacobs, you could still take Tony Pollard in the top 15, 20 picks in fantasy football. That sounds about right. And speaking of running back contracts, I mean, this was not in our rundown. Most surprising contract.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
To me, that I've seen to this point, and I think we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show. How about James Robinson getting traded for a 7th-round pick last year, going to the New York Jets, game day scratch, and the Patriots say, you know what, screw it, let's go ahead and give this guy $8 million. The Patriots continuing to confound everyone. Guys, we've got a jam-packed show for you here. Going to take a deeper look at NFL free agency. In the next block, we're going to look at the Pittsburgh Pirates for fantasy baseball and, of course, end with fantasy reality in the Sports Grid 60. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. George and I will be back with you here in just a few minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We're going to take a look at some of the big NFL free agency signings from the last 24 hours, a little bit of old faces, new places, beginning with Miles Sanders. And honestly, George, Miles Sanders signing with the Carolina Panthers, a four-year $25 million deal. Not exactly clear how much of that is guaranteed. Gotta say, don't love this signing for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, how much would Miles Sanders have gotten in free agency last season, coming off a year where he scored zero touchdowns compared to how good he was this most recent season? Just comparing the contract that Rashad Penny signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. But things are probably going to be looking up in Carolina. They might finally have, you know, an above average quarterback if they get one of the, you know, they're theoretically drafting a quarterback at number one. They're bringing Adam Thielen in for a workout. What is our outlook for Miles Sanders in 2023?
I mean, I guess, do you want to be a pessimist or you want to be an optimist? All right. The optimist will tell you, well, you know, he goes to Carolina. He won't be competing with Gainwell, Scott, Jalen Hurts for touches, right? You could look at it that way. So it should give him more chances to do some damage here. Of course, it's the Carolina offense. It's going to be a work in progress here. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I like what they've done. I do, Carolina, but there's not a lot there right now. They'll draft the quarterback, right? They'll get there to whatever guy they – I'm assuming it might be Stroud, Young, you know, whatever it is. They'll get their quarterback yet, but there's no receivers there yet. Marshall, Smith, Chanel. You're tied in. Okay, you just signed Hayden Hurst. Solid, but nothing spectacular there. There's going to be a lot of attention paid to the run game. You know, a lot of attention there. I agree with you. It's contract year. You know, he had a contract year, and he had a fantastic year during that contract year. Always questionable when that comes to me here. So as far as fantasy is concerned, I think it'd be very nice to say he's a running back two. You know, I'm probably going to have more of the running back three range. There's still value there, of course. Every running back with a heartbeat has value here. But I am not rushing to the window on draft day trying to go, dang, I got to get Miles Sanders on my team. No, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that the big question is basically, you know, is he going to get a lot of that passing down work, obviously, that Christian McCaffrey got in his time in Carolina? Now, Miles Sanders is not as good as Christian McCaffrey, but if he does, if he gets even half of that work, he's going to end up being really valuable for our purposes. A guy who doesn't do any passing down work but gets every available touchdown, signs with the New Orleans Saints, Jamal Williams, coming off of his best career year, gets a 3-year, I believe, $12 million deal with the New Orleans Saints. I think that probably means we've seen the last of Mark Ingram, Dwayne Washington, David Johnson, Tony Jones Jr., you know, all these guys that they've had in that backfield with Alvin Kamara in the years past. Now, remember, Kamara is also going to be serving a minimum of a 3-game suspension. And we'll see how much that, you know, we'll see how much he ends up actually being suspended for. But yeah, I mean, you got to say, pretty good landing spot for Jamal Williams to basically do the exact same thing he did last year. Kamara is going to be DeAndre Swift. Jamal Williams is going to get all the goal line work. And for those of us who've been holding on to Taysom Hill, I think the time of Taysom Hill getting the goal line work, George, it's probably over now with this Jamal Williams signing.
Oh, I would like to think so as well, but you know, I'm not counting. I mean, I don't know what the deal with Taysom Hill is, what he has on that organization. He still has a job there. But whatever. I'm with you on Jamal Williams. As a Cowboy fan, I would have liked Jamal Williams to have been the who they signed to pair it with Pollard. I think it would have been perfect there, right? Sort of like Zeke Elliott with some legs left. Short yardage, a touchdown guy there. You said it about Kamara. We know he's going to get suspended. We just don't know how long it's going to be. At least we assume he's going to get suspended. So good spot with Jamal Williams. Now, I don't know if he's going to get 17, 18 touchdowns again. They get 17 last year to lead running backs. Detroit used him that way. Right? They want them to be the goal line back. Worked out well. And I would think New Orleans has seen that and goes, okay, that'll work for us as also. We don't want Kamara taking that kind of pounding there. So I'm going to like Jamal Williams. Running back, too. I'm not going to expect, you know, a 1,200-yard season. I think that's a lot to ask for. But I think there is some upside here as far as yards is concerned. Touchdowns, I would probably bank on less than 17. I think that's going to be hard to replicate.
Yes. Yeah, I would be shocked. In fact, I think Williams will probably end up getting a little bit overdrafted, basically because all the touchdowns last year, and I think people will sort of double count the Kamara suspension because I don't think Jamal Williams is getting 20 touches a game with Alvin Kamara out. Weirdest signing to me, this is far and away the weirdest signing of the offseason. Juju Smith-Schuster signs with the New England Patriots. He signs the exact same contract as Jacoby Myers, 3 years, $33 million. Now, George, last offseason, I loved the signing of Smith-Schuster to the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought the guy that he was those first 2 years in Pittsburgh, I kind of thought that guy was still there after a year of watching him very closely, obviously rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. I no longer hold that opinion. I think he's probably just a pretty fine slot wide receiver. And the issue for fantasy football, obviously, is going to be we do not expect the New England Patriots to be a very prolific passing offense. I mean, ask yourself, how often were you excited to start Jacoby Myers? How often were you excited to draft him, use him in DFS? The answer is very infrequently. And I don't really get it. I don't really get why Juju wanted to go from the Chiefs to the Patriots. And I don't really get why the Patriots preferred Smith-Schuster over Myers either.
I mean, I'm with you here, by the way. So there's little doubt about that. He had 78 catches, 933 yards, 3 touchdowns with Pat Mahomes. Now you're going to New England. We have all sorts of questions about Mac Jones. You know, is he an NFL quarterback? Is he just a blah one at best, an average one? That's probably being kind here. Can they fix him? You know, can they fix the offense? You know, you bring in O'Brien here. You finally have some offensive coaches going on there. Can you fix any of this? I don't know. But even if you do, let's just say everything's hunky-dory, everything's fixed. Are we expecting more than what he got with Pat Mahomes? I know, yeah, I guess your counter-argument could be, well, you know, Mahomes had other options to throw to there. Okay, sure. You still have Pat Mahomes. All right, and you really didn't do all that. You know, 78, 933. Blah. And once again, you divide 933 by 17, that's not very spectacular at all. It's not very good at all here. I'm not expecting much. He'll be a wide receiver 4 for me next year, and not someone I'll be dying to get at all. Now, I've been down, as you know, full transparency, I've been down on Juju almost his whole career. I thought he was, even the one big year he had with Pittsburgh, well, that was because Antonio Brown was there, and no one cared about the other side. It was cover Brown. Yeah, ever since Brown left, he hasn't done all that much yet. So I'm not a Juju guy here. I think he's an average wide receiver at best, and this is an average offense at best that's making more and more curious moves here. We talked about it, I think, during the opening here. You know, you had Stevenson, yet you signed Robinson. I mean, I don't know what's going on. This is just Bill Scroon with fantasy owners once again.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Our final old face with the new plays, Baker Mayfield, former Heisman Trophy winner, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, had that great drive last year for the Los Angeles Rams, signs a one-year deal worth up to $8.5 million for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, obviously an indication that the Buccaneers don't care about this season. They continue to shed salary. They're letting go of veterans left and right. I think there's a chance Chris Godwin and Mike Evans end up getting traded at some point over the course of this offseason. Sounds like there is going to be a quarterback competition, a true battle between Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield. Sad sentence there. But look, I've always been pro Baker. Talked about this on the show a little bit yesterday. Obviously, the Oklahoma helmet behind me. I think that he's gotten sort of a raw deal. Now, obviously, the turnovers, that's really been Baker's big problem. Sort of similar to like Carson Wentz too, where the turnovers have just been basically insurmountable. We'll see what ends up happening. I do think at least Baker will be decent enough to keep fantasy value for the backfield and for Chris Godwin.
I mean, I agree with you on most counts there. They just signed Chase Edmonds, by the way, to help out the running game there with Rashad White. I think Mayfield wins the job, by the way. So if I was drafting today, I would assume Mayfield wins that job. Now, I'm only interested in Mayfield in a super flex or a two quarterback league. And I think all leagues should be super flex, by the way, at least. They should always be playing with two quarterbacks or have the option to play with two quarterbacks. So I am interested in Mayfield. He's got Evans. He's got Godwin. I think he'll make them useful. I thought Mayfield was pretty impressive being traded. You know,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
From the season, goes to a new team, doesn't know the offense, and played pretty well here. So I'm a Mayfield guy here. I will have some interest, but only in leagues where you can start two quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely targeting Baker in all Superflex formats in 2023. That's going to do it for Old Faces, New Places, when we return a look at, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates and their fantasy baseball ADP. See you back in a second.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Real quick, before we get to the Pittsburgh Pirates and their fantasy baseball ADP, need to mention a couple breaking news items. It was just reported that Kansas University coach will not be on the sidelines today for the 1-16 matchup against Howard. He still is not quite fully recovered from the medical event that took him out of the Big 12 conference tournament. Also reporting, I think this is a pretty big deal for the NFL draft, Jalen Carter, the stud defensive line prospect from the University of Georgia, not going to be serving any jail time as a result of the traffic incident on January 15th. So sounds like he is going to have to do, you know, some community service, some counseling, but sounds like his lawyers basically found a way for him to not have to serve any jail time. Pretty fortuitous timing that they were able to work that out, obviously before the NFL draft. So we'll see what ends up happening there. He also had his pro day yesterday, Jalen Carter did, and came in 9 pounds heavier than he was at the combine. Not exactly the results, I think, that Jalen Carter and his team wanted, but we'll see what happens there. George, we are now moving to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who, honestly, I gotta say, the idea that the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are probably the worst team in baseball, pretty close to the worst team in baseball, that they have two guys going in the top 100 is kind of hilarious to me. They have O'Neill Cruz and Brian Reynolds, who are both top 100 picks in fantasy baseball. They have guys. They have other guys who have been top 100 picks in Ke'Bryan Hayes. But I guess let's just leave it here. I mean, do you have any hope that they are able to be more competitive than they were last season? I mean, is this a team that cannot be a total laughingstock in 2023?
Ooh, I'd like to tell you I have some hope for it here. There are some interesting players here. You mentioned the two obvious ones, Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz. But other than that, I mean, I would probably have some more hope if those guys were top pitchers instead of position players. They're at least guys who could hold down the opposition there. And I like Contreras as their number one. I don't think he's a number one overall, but as their number one, okay, Contreras, I think he has an upside as well. But after that, you know, Rich Hill, Keller, Velasquez, Brubaker. No. I don't. I think you said it accurately. If they're not going to be the worst team in baseball, bottom five, you know, they'll be competing for that number one draft pick next year. They will. It's a shame they don't spend any money there. They're not even really trying. We heard the Pittsburgh owner actually come out and complain over the past couple of weeks about the new CBA already. Boy, we just got a damn thing signed, buddy. Now you're already bitching about it. So, no, it's going to be ugly in Pittsburgh, which is a shame, by the way, because I think PNC Park in Pittsburgh is one of the most beautiful parks in Major League Baseball.
Sure.
It's great. Lord knows you can get tickets, good tickets, any game you want to go there. They're not selling out anytime soon. So, shame. My question for this season will be, does Brian Reynolds stay a Pirate come out at the end of October?
I mean, I think probably no. I also just want it on the record. No chance am I taking Brian Reynolds at this ADP. I just don't, because I don't think playing in that ballpark and in that division, I don't think he's got the absolute mega home run upside. And he's going to add a little bit of steals. He's going to help you okay in batting average, right? I mean, his zips projection for batting average is .273. He did hit .300 in 2021 over 559 plate appearances, but you're basically looking at 25 home runs, 5 steals. You know, we'll see. I'm totally out at that ADP. I'm very interested in O'Neill Cruz. I think he's legit. Definitely, I think he's a 2020 guy. I mean, he was 17 home runs and 11 steals in 331 plate appearances last year, but give him 550, give him 600 plate appearances. Now, obviously, he's going to be falling behind in the runs and the RBIs department, but that's the type of guy I really like to take risks on. the rest of the roster, it's like, okay. I mean, McCutcheon has really seen skill degradation. Hilarious to me that he's round-tripping his Major League Baseball career and basically ending it here with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I guess a little bit of a good story. I'm also the two guys I'm most interested in. I'm wondering your thoughts on them. The first is obviously Ke'Bryan Hayes, who we are really not that far removed from being like a really interesting guy that people, you know, a top prospect, really athletic, has had, you know, some unfortunate injuries early on in his career. Did have 505 plate appearances last year, George, but he absolutely stunk. So maybe I'm wrong to be interested. And I also, this guy, Jack Suwinski, who's one of their corner outfielders, he's got a lot of very raw power. Obviously, no batting average coming with it there. But Suwinski kind of reminds me of like, you know, an Adam Dunn, Joey Gallo style guy where it's three true outcomes. You're really not getting help with any of the batting average. But I think, you know, a 25 home run season and 400 so plate appearances is in play for him there.
All right. Now, for those who don't know, actually, Craig and I are big fantasy baseball players here. I've been doing mock drafts, I would say, since December. You know, like you are with football, I am with baseball. You know, I do mock drafts constantly. And I can tell you right now, if you want Ke'Bryan Hayes, you can wait forever. You can wait. Right. I mean, come on. There's third base. He's no better than top 15. And that's probably being a little kind there. There's not much upside here. What you said about Reynolds is true, by the way, about the ballpark. Well, that hurts Hayes, too. He's not the hitter that Reynolds is. It keeps his power down here. There's not much damage he's going to be able to do there. So there's only so much we can hope for there. Hayes is no better than a corner infielder or a utility player, at best here, with limited upside there. So keep that in mind here. As for Suwinski, he's not being drafted. Or he's that dartboard throwing the reserve rounds. You know, bing, maybe I hit a home run here. Let's see what happens here. But he'll be, if you draft him, and I don't have any problem with drafting someone like that, by the way. In most fantasy baseball leagues, you're going to have about 28 to 30 rounds, right? We start 14 hitters, 9 pitchers, and you're going to have 5 to 7 reserves. There's 28 to 30 rounds. You want to take him at 26, 27, see what you got? Fine. Go ahead. Those are the players we move on from anyway right away, right? The hot player in April. Well, the guy, no, oh, I didn't see this guy coming. You know, so we move on from those guys anyway. So it's okay to pretty much take anybody in those rounds, really, to see what you got there. You know, take some flyers there. Take some chances. See what you got. You know, throw some mud on the wall. See if it sticks, that sort of thing. So I don't have any problem with it. But I can tell you right now, I've done probably 15, 20 mock drafts. If I've heard his name mentioned, then it's been claimed once or twice. You know, that's been a lot. But I'll be the first person to tell you, also in these mocks that I do, and they're all industry mocks, we generally don't go past 24, 25 rounds. So that's another reason why I haven't heard his name mentioned all that much.
Yeah. All right, moving to their starting pitching rotation. Mitch Keller is their ace. He is going to be the opening day starter. I mean, the projection for him is not particularly great. Mid-4s ERA, more innings pitched than strikeouts. We'll see. The upside there is with Contreras, who is 23 years old. He made 21 starts last season, 3.7 ERA, almost a strikeout per inning. There is, I think, some hope that he could be, a guy who ends up out-earning this value slot by quite a bit. Obviously, you can see the difference in ADP between him and everyone else in this pitching rotation. Absolutely no reason to roster Rich Hill. No reason to roster Jonathan Brubaker. Maybe you could talk yourself into a spot start here or there for Vince Velasquez. Probably not. I mean, George, I'm so old. I remember when Vince Velasquez was, a flame-throwing, highly touted prospect. We've seen 100 guys like this. They can't generate enough strikeouts at the major league level. So really, it's sort of Contreras or bust here.
It is Contreras or bust here. There's no one else you want in the starting rotation. All right, and Contreras, they babied him last year because I think he can be really good, and I agree. Now, the bad thing with Contreras is he threw 100, you're not going to get a truckload of innings this year. I think they will protect him somewhat again, so maybe once he tops out at 160, somewhere around there, which means they could shut him down in September, but you're not worried about that right now. You can fix that during the season here. But Contreras is someone I'm interested in. Now, when I say this, keep in mind, in most leagues, W's are a category. All right, he's not going to get you a truckload of W's. You already said the team's a bad team. What's our overall under for wins as a team there? 64? 65? They could easily lose over 100 games. That might be being kind. So how many wins is he going to get for you? 8? 9? That's already a category that's dead. We know saves are dead for him. So now he's a three-category player at best. You know, strikeouts, ERA and WHIP. That's all you're going to get. If you have quality starts, I'm a little bit more interested, you know, because I think he could give you more of that. But I do wonder if there's not going to be too many games where he's going six plus innings here. So keep that in mind as well. I like the player. Hate the where he is. If he was on a different team, I'd be much more interested in him. But I don't see Contreras lighting it up here.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. All right, heading to their bullpen. David Bednar is locked in as the guy who's going to start closing games for them at the beginning of the year. In fact, pretty decent projection for him in terms of total number of saves generated. They don't really have anyone in their bullpen that you would say is breathing down his neck in terms of raw ability. So, David Bednar, are we taking him? Does he get moved at the deadline? Do the Pirates even win enough games to get him to 30 saves? Where are we at on David Bednar?
Sorry, phone call. Hello, Pittsburgh? This is Steve Cohen, Mets. We'd like Bednar. What's it going to take to get him? We just lost Diaz. It's a phone call that has to be made. Okay, if you're the Pittsburgh, you want this call to come because Bednar is not some top rookie here, not some top prospect. He's 28 years old. And you're right, he is the closer for the team. The Mets, now we don't know for sure, but we assume we're going to find out later today that Edwin Diaz is lost here. Mets are going for it, right? So I expect the Mets to make a phone call here to Bednar for Pittsburgh. I certainly want to, Bednar is available. What I'm trying to say is this. I do not think Bednar finishes the season in Pittsburgh. I think they will trade him eventually. I think the Mets are an interesting talk right now in March, assuming they are going to lose Diaz here. Bednar's a solid closer. He's not fantastic, not great, but he's a solid closer here. If he remains in Pittsburgh, that's great. What I would be more worried about, by the way, if I'm a Bednar owner right now, is that he does get traded in, let's say, by the trade deadline, and he goes to a team that already has an established closer, and now he's an eighth inning guy. That's my only worry with Bednar.
Yeah, definitely think that's a possibility. It's a tale as old as time. Draft a closer from a bad team, they get traded to another team, and they end up being the setup man.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
And we're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on FST. When we return, George and I will be doing fantasy or reality. See you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into fantasy or reality, I need to remind everyone, I mean, especially now, especially today, especially the next couple weeks while March Madness is going on, you need to be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Because, look, let's be honest. I know you guys out there, you're busy people, you got busy lives. You have not been watching every college basketball game. You don't know anything about Princeton's men's basketball team. You don't know who's good on Kansas State's men's basketball team. You don't know who to pick in these games. But what I do know is that you want to be betting on these games. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, everyone watching the show, they cannot wait to be sitting there, finding out what channel True TV is on, you know, watching all these games, betting on these games, making player prop wagers for these games, and all of that content is going to be found at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. News, notes, injuries, highlights, analysis, everything that you need to keep up with March Madness, you're going to be able to find that at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Now, George, this is not in fantasy reality, but I got a question for you about your Dallas Cowboys, because they still have a pretty gaping hole at third wide receiver. Jalen Tolbert, the third round pick from last year, didn't really work out. They let Noah Brown leave. He is now a Houston Texan. Maybe the organization is expecting better production from Michael Gallup this upcoming season. He was pretty poor his first season back from the ACL tear last year. I mean, is Dallas, are they signing Odell Beckham? Are they going to be a team that engineers a trade? Are they going to try and take someone again in the draft? What is Dallas? And they're also letting Dalton Schultz go, by the way. So they're probably going to have to figure out tight end as well. What is the Dallas Cowboys plan?
Yeah, you mentioned the three options there, right? Sign Odell Beckham, do a trade, or go back to the draft here. Now, a couple things on Dallas. One, they've restructured five contracts now over the past week. They've got a lot of cap room here. You know, what are they up to? Yeah, I said, and this, by the way, when I say they have a lot of cap room, that's after they've made all these other signings here, as far as Leighton Vander Esch, getting Gilmore, stuff like that. So Garrett Wilson, Donovan Wilson, the safety there. And they've got plenty of room here to add really whoever they want should they want to go after somebody. So who is it? Is it Beckham? All right. I think if Dallas would have liked what they saw in his medicals last year, they would have signed him for a stretch run there in the playoffs. I'm sure he's much healthier now. So maybe they're negotiating with him, trying to see what he wants to come to Dallas. Is it a trade? And I know the name we're all going to think of is DeAndre Hopkins, right? Could Dallas be interested in going for him? Which, of course, they would be. You know, or do they go back to the draft? And one thing with everything they've done here, the Cowboys, they could pretty much draft BPA at 26 overall in the first round. So maybe it is a wide receiver there. So I think any of those options are there. But if you're asking me, I think it's one of the first two. I think that's what the cap room is for. I think they're either going to sign Beckham or try and work out that trade. Maybe it's Hopkins. Maybe, listen, I think they would love Godwin or Edwards. You already mentioned that one or both of those guys could be available in Tampa Bay. But I think they are going to add somebody significant to the wide receiver room there. I do believe, and I think that move really, I assume it's going to come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It's Jerry's way, right? Jerry's way. He would prefer to add a splash. He would prefer to be, you know, the front page of the Dallas Fort Worth Sentinel or whatever. You know, that's what he wants. So I think that you are probably correct. All right, let's go ahead and move into everyone's favorite segment: fantasy or reality. All right, well, as everyone knows, the NCAA tournament men's March Madness begins today. The one seeds, the 16 seeds, everyone's getting ready. Everyone's getting jazzed. Right now, Alabama is listed as the second favorite at plus 700 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the NCAA tournament. Though, I think many people probably think they're actually the best team. I think a lot of people believe that Alabama is better than the other one seeds, Houston, Kansas, and Purdue. So, George, I will ask you, fantasy reality, Alabama will win the NCAA Men's March Madness Tournament.
Well, I mean, the gambler in me wants to tell you automatically, no, I'll take the field. Always take, whenever I get a question about this, pretty much anywhere, I'll always take the field here, right? Too many things can happen and go wrong. It's a one-game tournament, right? You have one bad day. You know, you're shooting bad. You hit a lot of bricks that day. It's over. Bad officiating. Bullets and bounce your way. Whatever you want to all go with here. So I think your analysis is correct. I think they probably are the best team, not the number two team. But to say they're going to win, and this, like I said, I can almost say this almost any year. Now, there might be some years that are different where, oh, this team's obviously the best. They're so much better than everybody else. It's just a weak field, whatever it matters there. But no, I'm going to say no, they won't win it. I think this is a fantasy here. I think they might be the best team going in, but I think something will go wrong somewhere along the way that they won't win here. So give me fantasy. They will not win the NCAA tournament.
Yep, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. I am also going to take fantasy. Alabama is the number two team in, or actually the number three team in the KenPom rankings, which is, so for those who don't know, if you're not really into gambling on college basketball, Ken Pom's, it's just kenpom.com. Ken Pomeroy is the guy who came up with basically a way to quantify the talent level of all of these college basketball teams. Every company, FanDuel, DraftKings, all these sites that run you know, that offer lines, player props, and things like that. It's all feeding in off of this. Everyone's checking their stuff against this. In fact, I believe it has been reported that the KenPom stuff factors into tournament seeding. So it definitely matters. They have Alabama as the third best team, the third best defense, the 19th best offense. They play incredibly fast. They are the fourth fastest offense, which is sort of interesting because Houston, which is the number one team, is dead last, 345th in adjusted tempo. Sort of crazy. I will say this. I don't know who's going to win, George, so I'm going to do the same as you. I'm just going to take the field. But I'm in a pool. It's sort of like fantasy sports, but for championships, where you draft teams from sports. I think we had 18 different leagues we drafted from all across. It's called Omni Fantasy. I selected the Houston Cougars in this pool, so I will be rooting for them in a major way because getting those points obviously will help me win. So I got fantasy as well. Moving on now back to the NFL. This is a tough one. I don't know which way I'm going to answer this, so I might just feed off of the way you answer it. Aaron Rodgers, fantasy or reality, will be on the Jets before the NFL draft. So before the beginning of the first pick of the NFL draft, Aaron Rodgers, the trade will happen. He will be an under contract player for the New York Football Jets, fantasy or reality.
All right, so let's assume that Aaron Rodgers was telling the truth yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, right? That it's not him that's holding it up. It's the trade compensation between the two teams here. It's who blinks first, right? Because they both think they have leverage. The Jets think, oh, hey, Rodgers already said, the Packers already said, Jordan loves our quarterback. We don't want Rodgers there. So they got to make the deal here at our terms here. Well, the Packers are saying, no, we don't. All right, I ain't going to make a deal for nobody. He's on the contract for us. We don't have to pay him a dime. There's no bonus coming through next month, next couple of months, actually. They don't owe him a dime until September. He doesn't show up to offseason mini camps anyway. So, like, he's not going to be a distraction here. We can wait forever here. You know, so we want more. We want more. He's the best player in franchise history, or one of them, as Rodgers said yesterday. So we can wait. You know, we'll call you bluff. We want multiple number ones here. I think there's got to be a happy medium here. I think it's going to take a bit. Before the NFL draft, that's what? 5 weeks away, 5.5, 6 weeks. I'll say yes, okay, that this is a reality, that he will be a Jet before the draft. But as I said, 6 weeks away, I think this is something we're going to be talking about for a long time. And, you know, Gabe likes to call me Captain Chaos. And what he means by that is, like I said, I would love for it, Davis. Love for it. Right now, it comes up on a phone. Aaron goes, you know, after careful consideration, I think I really love Green Bay. And I don't want to leave. I would love that because it would screw the Jets, right? They've already lost Derek Carr. They've already lost Jimmy Garoppolo. And by the way, if I'm the Jets, call Baltimore. I mean, make a deal with Lamar. They don't want him. I'd rather give up two picks for Lamar Jackson and have him for the next 8-10 years than Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. You know, Rodgers may be a better player now, but I'll take the long haul here because the Jets, once Rodgers retires in a year or two, guess what? You're in the same spot again. Same exact spot. And by the way, one more thing about Rodgers here. If you're going to leave Green Bay, do you really want to go to the AFC? Doesn't Mahomes play there? Doesn't Burrow play there? You know, doesn't Josh Allen play there? I mean, not really where I'd want to end up. Still, I think this is our reality, though. By the draft, he will be a Jet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you just hit on the most confusing part of all of this to me, which is why does he want to leave the NFC, which has Jalen Hurts and a bunch of nobodies, to go play in the AFC that probably has 7 of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL in it. So a couple things. I mean, the first is I actually think the Packers have the leverage here because the Jets have no out. The Jets have no out. Even if Rodgers says I'll retire, Packers don't care because they're going to stink anyway. And they, you know, they're all like Rodgers' cap numbers already on their sheet. So I think the Packers have the leverage. I think the Jets will eventually cave to the demand. So I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say they really draw this out and the Packers say, we're not moving him for less than what we asked for. And, you know, basically you deal with that. You do that as you may. So I got fantasy. I really think that this is going to be drawn out. And also remember, Rodgers said, my intent is to play for the New York Jets. He didn't say I'm going to play for the New York Jets. He said, my intent is to play for the New York Jets. So always, I think a lot, I think just a lot of wiggle room there for Mr. Rodgers. Finally, now we have the every spring it happens, the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas. It's sort of this cool meeting of the minds. There's you know, people bring their restaurants there, their food trucks. It's a huge music festival. There are there's sports panels there. Writers do panels there when they have books coming out. It's just sort of a countercultural festival. So, George, I think I might know the way you're going to answer this question. You, George, would like to leave your home and go attend the South by Southwest Festival for 4 days in Austin, Texas.
I mean, when you phrase it that way, for 4 days, probably not. I wouldn't mind checking it out. You know, I wouldn't check it out how it is, but it's probably not something that's going to be on my bucket list anytime soon. It's something I have to do or want to do here. Like I said, Dave says, hey, you look like you want to go to this festival. Sure, why not? You know, I've got nothing else to do here, but not something I'm going to be like, oh, you know, I can't wait to go to this thing. Have to go. So this would be a fantasy for me, but not a hard fantasy. Like I said, I wouldn't mind doing something like this, but it's just not something I'm dying to do here. But it does sound interesting, which is what I'd find it. That's why I don't think I would do 4 days, but I want to check it out, see what's going on here. Okay, you know, next, what can we do next year? I wouldn't mind, but not something I'm, like I said, written in stone or pen that I have to do.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. I'm the same way as you. I have been to Lollapalooza, which is a huge music festival. It's not the same deal because South by Southwest is a little bit more varied. You know, they have panels and writers and food. It's more of a meeting of the minds type vibe is what they want to be out there. It's not just a straight up music festival. I was looking at the headlining artists for this year. None of them are going to meet, what I would consider to be my favorite musical artist, not someone I am going out of my way to go see. So I got reality in general I would like to go, but fantasy on, dropping everything and going this year. Although never say never as it pertains to going to a music festival. All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and wrap up the show. We'll be back with the Sports Grid 60 here in a little bit. If you missed any of the old faces, new places, or our look at the Pittsburgh Pirates for fantasy baseball, you can go back and watch that on demand. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us here on Sports Grid for the rest of the day. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. As always, we end the program with the Sports Grid 60.
While it's unfortunate that Edwin Diaz seems to be, he's going to suffer that season-ending injury after the celebration last night with Team Puerto Rico, we don't know for sure yet, but everyone's expecting the worst here. That'd be a shock if he's not lost for the season if he didn't tear his ACL there. I hope people aren't going to use this as an excuse not to discontinue the WBC. Yes, Freddie Freeman got hurt earlier in the week, also with Team Canada. That's a very minor injury. He might miss a week. He'll be back before opening day here. And listen, I'm not the biggest WBC guy, by the way. I am not Gabe Morenci, who's in love with this. I think it's a good tournament. I enjoy watching it, but I'm not glued to my TV for every game that's on here. But Keith Oldman this morning pretty much came out and eviscerated the tournament. It's meaningless. Doesn't mean anything. My old work partner Mark Healy, same thing. That it's dumb. There's no reason to be able to do this. I think it's enjoyable. I do like the countries going up against each other. Even if Team USA, the pitchers don't seem to care. Top 14 Cy Young Award voter that got Cy Young Award votes last year aren't participating here. But I just tell people Davis aren't going to use it as an excuse to get rid of the WBC.
Yep, I tend to agree with that analysis as well. It seems like the players there are loving it. Mike Trout just had media availability and was telling people how awesome it is. So I definitely agree. I mean, just let the dudes have their fun. I'll do my little spiel on March Madness. I talked about it yesterday. Look, just accept that a lot of these games, not going to be that great. Not going to be that interesting. A lot of the 1-16 games, 2-15, not going to be that great. The reason why we all like March Madness is, that 5-12 game, the buzzer beater, the name that always comes for me is when the University of Northern Iowa beat KU, Ali Farouk Manesh hitting all of those threes. Those are the moments that we'll remember. You're not going to remember all the missed 8-foot jump shots. Everyone, that's going to do it for us here today at the program. Thank you to our producer, Brett Levy and Michael Cohen. Happy birthday, of course, to to one Mr. Michael Cohen turning 24 years old. Thanks to George for joining me. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid.